So this might bring some of you back to a different place. Today I'm reminded of the 80s movie, The Never-Ending Story. Can I have a hand of like how many actually watched that movie? Oh, yay. Okay, so it wasn't just me. Because I'm like, I couldn't actually tell, because it wasn't like a big blockbuster, you know, out of the gate. It might be like a cult classic now. I don't know what they call it. Because when I looked for it like on Amazon, they're like, what? But it was a fun movie, and I don't remember how old I was in 84. I was, well, I'm not sure. But it was quite the hero's journey. For those that didn't watch it, it was quite a hero's journey. Young boy, read a book, went into this journey of this fighting darkness that threatened to overtake this world, and there was sadness and fear and pleading and tears and dragons and horses. I like the horses. That's probably why I watched it when I was little. And the dragon and princesses. And I mean, it had all the great tellings of a story. With the story, and it was a reminder that the stories never end, that they are continually told over and over again, and told for different generations, which is fitting seeing that we've reached the end of Mark's written story today, where we've heard the recounting of Mark's, the recounting of Mark's telling of Christ's story, of his life and death and resurrection and the ascension, the concluding of the Easter story. And the narrative of the bleakness along with the light through breaking through the darkness and the tales of redemption that we see throughout. Stories that focus on the rebuilding and reshaping of communities that were in the midst of despair, of hungry, of lost and without hope. And Christ was that light that came into them to share that good news of Christ's love and God's love for all people, not just for a selected few. And that in those communities, there could be places found for food, to receive healing. And once healed, they could be restored into a loving body of believers. And the author did not shy away from the unpleasantness of life, the reminding us continually that to live fully, to understand Christ, that we must look at the uncomfortableness. And that's hard, because for me, sometimes we don't want to look at that uncomfortableness. We don't want to look at the ugliness that is so permanent and so prominent around us at times. But for Christ, he endured that. He looked at the hostility and the uncomfortableness of life, and he endured that for our sake. And when we recount of the women who arrived at the tomb in the early morning to perform the burial rites of the anointing of Christ, to only discover that he was not there. I found this great author this week, the Serene Jones was her name, and she inquires us to imagine. To imagine the overwhelming grief, the anger, the fear, the raw emotions that they experienced as they came to the rolled away tomb, stone, and the man within. And how they must have felt in those emotions. To the fear that the body was taken by some tomb robbers, only to find that Christ had risen and they had gone before them. If we would have read John's accounting, we know that the gardener that Mary thought was actually Christ, and he called out her name, and she got to see him once more. But within that time, in this and Mark's counting, from Christ arising to the grave and the ascension, he has many final appearances to the disciples, to Mary, and then the giving of the Great Commission to go out and tell their story, to tell of all these great works that they have seen and that great works that they themselves can do. but to tell the story of what they have seen and what they have done. What they've witnessed and gone through, all the suffering, all the pain, and all the hardships, to go and tell those, because those are the most fruitful, impactful moments, that you cannot have the one without the other. And as we were saying, they're not the most cheery, you know, spaces of our faith, but those are the most authentic spaces that we can live within. The making us recall the many stories of Christ and those as disciples, that they happen in those difficult and dark times. Periods where loving others took hard work, being present in the midst of persecution and the determination that allowed them to keep going, while holding that onto that promise that Christ crucified stood and what it meant for them, that they too had that promise, that their God's Christ Father was their Father, that their God, Christ, was their God, and they hold on to that. That when they confronted that reality of the violence and the relentlessness of that march of death that was facing them, while they were grieving that loss of their loved one, or the bodies that they encountered within their ministry, when they're overwhelmed by that pain and the ugliness, to switching to when they could see the things that we might look like, what we can see when we see Christ crucified and that redeeming beauty of Christ's sacrifice for us. Because there is a beauty within that when we think about it. When we look at those who were faithful to Christ in that path that was set before them, to that hardship, to the sacrifice, we think of Bonhoeffer, Martin Luther, even some today that we could name. However, through that death and that darkness, we have the promise of resurrection. We have that promise that God comes to us in both places, in the darkness of life and in the joys of happiness. That God comes to us in breaking down the walls, in the bogs that swallow us when we try to hide in our silence. That God crashes through the waves of grief that try to drag us back into the ocean of despair, when the waves engulfing us, and He reminds us that we are not alone, that He sits with us in those moments and gives us comfort. That God comes alongside of us in the laughter and in the joy, in the hopes and in the prayers that are answered. That both emotions that are swirling around us give us our stories, blending in the sadness and in the delight, and that both are needed for an honest account of who we are as God's people and in our faith, and to remember that God redeems our story, that God is with us, and through that boundless gift of grace that we are given, when we are found in the waters of baptism, when we join at the table of communion, and when we are found in this body of believers, that it is a never-ending story. Even though we've reached the end of Mark's gospel, we have our own hero's journey. It is a story that is made alive because we are alive and Christ is alive in us. Because Christ lives within us. What a great gift that we have been given. And it is a beautiful story that we have been given to tell one another. To tell the world, that is what Alleluia stands. To tell, to shout the joy. So I proclaim to each of you, I beg of each of you, when you go out amongst your work week, amongst your friends, to continue to tell your story because it is beautiful and it is uniquely yours. So please, shouts of Alleluias and sing of joys, and hold both those hopes. Amen.